These are probably verses that you haven't heard preached on very much. And I only say that to say it's in the Bible. So I'm going to read the first paragraph to you. And the title is, How Much Better is Better? Now, hold on to that. So this is about a time when the Levites, the priests, had gone astray from their priestly call. And they could only act as guards of the temple. They could deal with some of the animal offerings and minister to the people, but they did not have the right to minister to the Lord. That's a huge thing if you're a priest. And so that's the atmosphere, rather than read 40 verses to you. So this is Ezekiel 44, starting with verse 15. But the Levitical priests, the sons of Zadok, and you can look Zadok up. There are six or seven people in Jewish history named Zadok. Zadok means justified or righteous. Someone named Zadok is actually in Matthew 1 when you're looking at the lineage of Jesus. I can't prove that it's this one. But the sons of Zadok, priests who kept charge of my sanctuary when the sons of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me and minister to me, and they shall stand before me and offer me the fat and the blood, declares the Lord. They shall enter my sanctuary. They shall come near to my table to minister to me and keep my charge. So this is the privilege extended to the sons of Zadok, these priests that did not fall off the wagon, so to speak. So they remained faithful, and they got the privilege of not just ministering to people, but ministering to the Lord. Now think about that. There was a priesthood that got to minister to the Lord. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, but you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking about us. A people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called out you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. And you've not received mercy only, but you now have received, you didn't have mercy, and now you have. So we are a generation, a royal priesthood, and we have the opportunity that we get to minister to the Lord and to people. We have double privilege. And then 2 Peter chapter 1 says, For by these things he's granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. So that's what happens when you get saved. You get to become a partaker of the nature of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. So we're a whole generation of priests, and we've become partakers of the divine nature. Now, that ought to flip your biscuits here a little bit. Partakers of the divine nature. And he says, that's this kind of priesthood I have. A holy nation. Royal priesthood. And then we're back to Ezekiel 44, verse 17. This is pretty interesting. Don't leave me here. It shall be that when they enter at the gates, speaking of the sons of Zadok, of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and wool shall not be on them while they are ministering in the gates of the inner court and in the house. Linen turbans shall be on their heads, and linen undergarments shall be on their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that makes them sweat. So this isn't about any kind of selfish or soulish adventure or expenditure of effort. It says, I don't want anything on them to make them sweat. This is supposed to be in the spirit, not in the natural realm. Are you with me? So when they go out into the outer court to the people, they shall put off their garments in which they've been ministering and lay them in holy chambers. Then they shall put on other garments so that they will not transmit holiness to the people with their garments. Something happened so real. When they're ministering to the Lord, when they're in His presence, that even their clothes are holy. Something happened to them. They had to go into another place, change clothes, and put on their Levi's. That's what Levi's wear. I thought I had you. Because if they went out in those clothes, something's going to happen. And everything they touch or touches them becomes holy. And some of that wouldn't be good. Right? And so think about that. Something happened. Something was transacted the reality of the presence of the Lord so strong that it made the clothes they were wearing transmit holiness. Wow. And I put at the bottom of my notes, faith is the result of God's nature having an impact on my heart. It had such an impact. It on the clothes that just by being in his presence. So I'll read that for you from the Amplified Version. And when they go into the outer court to the people, they shall put off the garments in which they ministered and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, lest by contact of their garments with people, they would consecrate, separate, and set apart for holy use such persons unintentionally and unfittingly. So that didn't mean that person even had a connection with the Lord. There was something holy here, and they were not supposed to let that be transmitted outside to people who were not prepared. Wow. I don't know if that says anything to you, but it does to me. Now we're going to read from the book of Hebrews, three or four places. So much more, also, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. We're under a better covenant. The former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater number because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, on the other hand, because he continues forever, holds his priesthood permanently. Therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people, because he did once for all, he did that when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints a son made perfect forever. Isn't that cool? But now, Hebrews 8:6, he has obtained a more excellent ministry, by as much as he also is the mediator of a better covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. So we need to recognize that we are partakers of the divine nature. We need to partner with him to see his nature develop in us so that we can distribute that and impart that to others. Impartation. We need to be deeply influenced by his nature in us so we have more available to impart. We have a better covenant. Book says so. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Tough. It says, in more than one place, we have a better covenant based on better promises because we have a perfect high priest. Wow. And we get to be partakers of that divine nature. Now think about that for a minute. That means what it comes out to mean is that the Holy Spirit's in us and we're in him. Right? But now, wait a minute. This works everywhere. It works in every continent. It doesn't matter where it is. The presence of the Lord touching our heart is to affect how we live. Okay? Under a lesser covenant with weaker promises, the priests got touched so deeply by God that they couldn't even wear the clothes in which they ministered to him in, or the clothes themselves would have transmitted holiness to people. And that was under a lesser covenant with weaker promises. I'm not making this up. It says this. Now, wait a minute. That has implications, doesn't it? That has implications to me. I've been chewing on this for about 25 years. Like, how do I do? I went to see that happen. I went to see the result of everything he died to give us be ours in a functional way. Does that make sense? Can you see that it was functional in the Old Testament? It's either that or Ezekiel's lying. So it's part of the scriptures. Ezekiel 44, he says, this really happened. And they were under a covenant that's not as powerful as the one we're under. Holy smoke. Kind of. Think about it for a second. That really happened to those priests. Now, you know, if this was in America, then we would have, all those guys would have had their own TV show, and, you know, they'd have been so famous. And, you know, I mean, wow, you're one of those guys. And the Bible doesn't say much more about the sons of Zadok. But they didn't have the walk away from the Lord experience. And so they did have, oh my goodness, here's what you got to do. You come in, do everything you're supposed to do with me. Something's going to happen. And to protect those whose hearts are not ready, you can't even do that. I imagine they had to go in, shower, do the whole thing, and you know, and come out clean, if you know what I mean, but not carrying what they had had. Now, when this all happened, the Spirit of God didn't live in them. Come on. He didn't. He was upon them. Tell me, if you were picking, what would be the greater advantage? Him hanging around you or him living in you? And you living in him? Wow! Holy potential, Batman. I mean, think about it. We are carriers, having been made partakers of the divine nature, and we walk with him and we talk. Huh? The church is the coolest thing there is. If we could wake up to what our potential really is. And so I can remember years ago when this first hit me, and I had a big yellow pad, and at the top of it I wrote, so how much better is better? If we have better covenant and better promises, that means they're better than the other stuff that was contained under the lesser covenant with the lesser promises. I'm going, wow. That deserves a wow. It does. Now, what is that? How do we then change the way that we live? How do we respond to the reality of that? Well, I think you just say, I don't know that I get it, but yes. Yes, please. Here's an old song, 10 years after. I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do, so I'm going to leave it up to you. And the Lord has very kindly, you know, and I'd sing along with that song and say, I'd love to change the world, and now I know what to do. I know what to do, because the world changer is right here. Huh? Isn't that right? And he's right here when we're out there, and he's right here when we're way over there. And I don't want to overemphasize this, but I'm not so sure I can. I'm really confident in who Jesus is and what he's done. And I'd like to tell you I'm pretty confident that he's not done doing what he's done. And his way of doing what he did, he says, as you are in this world, like you're like me. You are like me in this world. And I'm going, okay, then let's have some of those better things. Better in quantity and quality take place. Now, I've told you a couple times a story where it's a lady leaned against me, and then she leaned against me again in a line. And then when she leaned against me the third time, I thought something was up. And I was just upset and behind time and needed to get the heck out. I was gritting my teeth. And so I just said, ma'am, are you okay? Because I don't get touched in line by people. Baskets maybe, you know, but they, She said, I touched you and I felt peace. Yeah, man. And there I was, wanting to get out of here. And yeah, glory to the Lord. Huh? And I just told the Lord right there, don't you ever let me do that again, please. But I don't think there was that many peace bearers in Walmart that day. It might have been Kmart, that might have been worse, I don't know. But there is peace in us. Yes. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the God of Peace. We get the peace of God and the God of Peace when we get saved, right? And she was desperate enough that by accident when she bumped into me, she felt something. And it overcame her. I'm just like, oh, could I have another ounce? You know, if that... I had no idea what was going on, but I'm telling you, we're carriers, we're partakers of the divine nature. And I was burning with that because the Lord had talked to me. I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, that what are we going to do? We're going on this trip, and I always think of Romans 1 about impartation, about giving something away. Paul says, I can't wait to come and impart some spiritual gift to you that will establish you in the faith. And I said, Lord, I really want to do that. So I looked up what impartation could mean in original language and all that kind of stuff. And it's really about sharing something that's already been deposited in your account. It's giving something away that you know he's given you. And I said, that's why I'm thinking that. Well, then I got the bigger picture. This is what he's given all of us. Anybody that names the name has become a partaker of the divine nature. And we've been placed in him and he's been placed in us. Right? And so, I want to break out and sing, I'm going to be a history maker. But you all don't know that song. Delirious is the band, just look it up. But he is the world changer. And he has not only the capacity, but the desire for us to live in the fullness of whatever the better is. I might not have presented this as well as it could be presented, but I'm telling you, that really meant something to me the first time I saw that. It was like, I don't know if I know how to get through all this stuff, but it was like putting a doorstop in the door and doors open. You know, it may not be swinging wide, but that door is open. And I genuinely believe that he doesn't have plan B. The church is his plan. And, you know, the devil looks at the church and goes, really? That's as good as you can do? He says, yeah, they're carrying my spirit. They're carrying my word. They've been baptized in my love. They've had my peace imparted to them. They have the capacity to express my compassion. Yeah, that's good. They even have the chance to have my patience. That's a little risky. Those things are real. They're part of the better promises. They're part of the better covenant. Well, so now am I bad mouthing the Old Testament? No, sir, Jesus fulfilled it. He's the completion, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, right? And so I just want you to be mildly uncomfortable about the fact that there are better promises and a better covenant, and we have been born again into that covenant. And born again into those promises. They're ours. Ours. That's like you and me. Ours. Well, what are we going to do with that? Well, I think starting out believing it's a pretty good thing. And then how's that going to work out? Well, there are spiritual gifts. And I mean, you know, there's any number of ways that he can make that happen. So, well... So Caleb has a pain in his knee. What's that? Well, that's just a little word of knowledge saying, hey, I don't have that. I've never had that. So maybe somebody else has got that. Well, that's a cool way of saying, wake up, maybe you could try this. Maybe I'm telling you something here. Maybe something could be happening here. I can't tell you how many times I've had that happen, little things like that. And when we were in Estonia, a number of times, I'd end up praying for somebody, and bingo, you know, you knew what they needed, but you didn't know when you started praying. You know, I mean, we live on that. I mean, that's how we're supposed to function. I just want you to know that it was so dramatic, and I'm not trying to do anything, you know, it's not drama, it's impact. It was so impactful. The presence of the living God was so impactful that it changed the molecular makeup of the clothing they were wearing. And it would have caused people immediately to be totally holy if they touched it. Well, that's not how he was doing it, right? I mean, and so he said, no, we got to do this, but you guys need to know that I'm rewarding you for being this holy nation, this whole family of priests unto the Lord. And that's us. I mean, it's spoken of in the Old Testament. This is us. Peter's talking about, you're a holy nation. You're, you know, one people, a royal priesthood. That's the church. That's people who know Jesus. Wow. And is it not within your imagination to think, gosh, if he did that under the old covenant with those guys who didn't even have the Spirit of God in them, maybe something could happen because the Spirit of God is in us. Huh? Whoa! And then, what could happen? Well, lots of things have happened, and you can go down through history and read many, many, many kinds of miracles and wonders and all that kind of stuff. The thing is, he always does, in the age of people not coming to him, he does the kinds of things that would help them come to him. And carrying the presence of God with us and being alert to it and having him nudge us and help us and prompt us to say or not to say. Sometimes that's the most important thing. To do or not to do. Being led by him in those ways can produce results that are unbelievable. I mean, just out of this world. You know, I mean, and I have a lot of examples, but I don't have a lot of time. So. But I've mentioned this before, but this hits my head again. I'm at the end of a service. I'm late. I told my wife I'd be home a certain time. I was late. Still had people in line. I was late and promised I would not be late. And so I'm decided, I grab my bag, my black bag, and I'm going to get out the door. There's a guy standing over here with somebody I knew. I can't remember who it was. This has been a while. And I thought, oh, he brought his cousin to church or something like that. So I just went over, and he's a great big guy, big dude, bigger than you, man. I mean, but I just went by him. When I went by him, I went pow like that. I said, long way from Schenectady, isn't it, pal? He said, how did you know I was from Schenectady? And I said, I can't even spell it. I don't. And he said, how did you know that? And I said, I think the Lord must want me to pray for you. And come to find out, he's a pastor running away from God. Oh, man. I mean, and, you know, it's like a woman at the well. I told him everything he'd ever done. It was just like, and I was late. And I knew, it was amazing. The guys, the cousin or friend or whoever he was, his eyes got about that big, you know, and it ended up that he ended up going back home and got set right with the Lord again, back in ministry. And all that. Isn't that cool? See, that's the kind of stuff, you can't plan that. And you know, I didn't care enough to find out about the guy. I wanted to make like, I'm going, but I'm knowing. I recognize you're here, good for you, but there's a door and I'm headed towards it because I'm late. Well, I was later by the time I got done. But I told Kathy what happened. She said, that's pretty neat. but you're still, anyway. There's a normalcy to the Lord meeting the needs of people when we're attuned. That doesn't happen to me every day. And it doesn't just happen to me when it happens. I mean, it happened to Caleb, didn't happen to me, you know? And so you owe me one, buddy. But I want us to be aware of the fact that it's in the scriptures that exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask, think, or imagine, power of God is available. Well, how do we get in touch? We'll talk more about that. I just want to plant this in your mind. Better promises, better covenant, and then better than what? Pretty much better than the stuff you can find that happened before. If nothing else, better because of Jesus being the author and finisher of all. Him being our high priest. Amen. Him being always interceding for us, believers. His promises to us as believers, as a royal priesthood, the giftings, the callings, and just the presence of the Lord. I know we're supposed to go eat. You're going to think we're late, so I'm going to pray and close, but please don't throw those verses away. Let them stir in you. And it's not to say, wow, we're really doing bad. No, it's like, look how much there is more of the increase of His kingdom and His peace. There isn't any end. So, Lord, we just put ourselves before You today. And I spoke that in that little church in Estonia because they had touched some of this. Some of this had touched them, and they're waiting for more. And I wanted to let them know He's still got it. And He can still do it. And Lord, we want to be stirred like that. And I want to pray for everybody here. Lord, everybody that knows Jesus has the Spirit of God in them. And I ask for divine appointments to pop up. I ask for people to bump into them and feel peace or joy or whatever it might be. And Lord, that You would show Yourself strong on behalf of those who really need to know You. And do things through people listening online and people in this room so they have new testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit of prophecy. It's You speaking in the now, doing what You want to do, changing people's lives. And we just want to say thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Next.